Galatians chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, or ask of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? Verse 5, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Interesting passage. An important truth. I call your attention once again to verse 5 specifically. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The Galatian believers were bewitched. Paul says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? They were bewitched. Oh, we're not talking Samantha Stevens twitching her nose back and forth, causing some sort of a bizarre enchantment through some sort of black magical incantation. No, it's not Samantha Stevens twitching her nose, bewitching them. But it was rather a group of men who came into their midst, not twitching their nose, but looking down their nose on these Christians. Sticking up their nose in pomposity and pride, and saying to these Christians there at Galatia, well now, it's nice that you're believers in Jesus Christ, but it's not that simple. In order to be used by the Lord or go deeper in the Lord, you need to keep certain rules and regulations. And such rules and regulations are painful. Dealing with your flesh. And so they would say to these brand new Christians that were on fire for the Lord and just enjoying the grace and goodness of God, hey, it's not that simple. You need to be keeping the law, circumcised specifically. For these Gentile men, those were pretty strong words. Put them in a place where tough decisions had to be made. You gotta be circumcised, man, like the Old Testament laws and regulations declare. Oh, they didn't understand that all of the regulations and rules in the Old Testament are to portray truths to us, not to be acted out by us. Why, Paul will say later on, specifically in chapter 3 of this book, the law was given to drive us to Jesus Christ. That is, to show us that we can't keep the rules. We can't keep the regulations. We're sinners. We need a Savior. And once it served that purpose, where you see that you're a sinner, because the law makes it oh so clear, oh man, I can't keep these rules. I don't live up to those expectations. Then the law has served its purpose. It's driven you to Jesus Christ. You say, then why study the Old Testament or the law? Simply for this, there are still pictures and understandings that we can glean and gain about what the Lord wants to do in our lives, internally, It's called the new covenant. I will do my work in your heart, not through external religiosity, but internal, spiritual, beautiful transformation that he does, you see. So I can learn wonderful lessons about studying, or pardon me, in my studying of the Old Testament, but I don't seek to put myself under the bondage of those rules and regulations. I'm free. Who's bewitched you? What are these guys doing to you? And Paul would say there in chapter 5, you stand fast in the liberty that Jesus Christ has called you to stand in. Don't go back into religion. Well, are you so foolish, Paul says? You began in the Spirit. You got saved just believing in the Lord and trusting on Him and enjoying what He's done. Now, he says, do you think you're going to be made perfect by the energy of the flesh? I ask that question to you today. I pose that question to us as a congregation. When you were saved, that day you opened your heart to Jesus Christ, or that day you came down and were baptized as an outward sign of an inward belief, you were doing so just saying, hey, I'm a sinner. I have nothing to offer, but Lord, if you want to do a work in me, if you really do want to save me, okay, Lord, do it. That's how you were saved. You began in the Spirit, not in the energy of your flesh, not making promises to Him or pledging to clean up your life or get your act together. You came as a sinner. You came as a child. And Paul said you began that way, and that's good. So now why have you left that path? And why now, he says, do you think that you're now going to be perfected or matured through your own fleshly energy? Your rules, your religion, it ought not to be. He says this in verse 5, and this is what intrigues me. The one that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, the one whom the Father is using, be this a reference in verse 5 to the Lord Himself, or be it a reference to people who are serving Him, it can go both ways linguistically. So in verse 5, if the He is capitalized in your particular translation or version, understand this, in the Greek there are no capitals. We don't know if the reference here is talking about the Lord who ministers the Spirit and does miracles, or whether it's the people of the Lord who in the power of the Lord are doing wonderful things in His name. And I believe it's obscure for a reason. It applies to both. Now, think with me. I really won't keep you long. I don't even know where I am right now. So I won't keep you long. But it's important what I have to say. And I want you to tune in and grasp it. People say, okay, John, I heard the song that Margaret shared, Lord of the Harvest. And I hear the Macedonian call coming from Europe, from Africa, from the South Seas, from Ashland, from Wairika, from Jacksonville or Rouge, Oregon. The Macedonian call, come and help us. And I want to. But man, I just am so afraid that I'm not able to, I'm not ready to, I'm not capable of being effective in service, ministering the Spirit. What if somebody comes to me and says, yes, I want to know the Lord, or I want to be empowered by the Spirit. What am I going to do? I mean, what if I lay my hands on that person who says, I just want a fuller experience with the Lord, a deeper love for the Lord, and I lay my hands on them, praying the Holy Spirit might be ministered to them, that the power of the Holy Ghost might come upon them, and what if nothing happens? What if I try to teach a Bible study and nobody comes? What if I witness and people just walk away? Yeah, I have to I have to have my act together. I've got to be further instructed. I've got to... Hey, Paul says, look, understand this point. The one that ministers the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, is it done by the works of the law? That is, I've got my act together. I'm keeping these rules. I've got that theology. Hey, my trip is tight. So God can really use me because I'm so together. I've circumcised my flesh. I've taken care of this sin and that problem. I've got this understanding and that theology. And man, Paul says, look, the one that ministers the Spirit, the one who's effectively used by the Lord, is not the one who does so by keeping the law, but rather the one who hears in faith. Hears what? The simple word. Go into all the world and share. Lo, I am with you always. You shall be my witnesses. Not you should be, but you shall be my witnesses. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Ghost to them to ask? And you see, I just hear what the Lord is saying. And in the hearing of faith, I say, okay, Lord. Wonderful. You said that these people who are looking to you, Father, for the power of the Holy Spirit, if we would ask, you would give. Therefore, by the hearing of faith, I now lay my hands upon this person and pray. I'm not waiting for some esoteric insight on how to lay my hands on the person. Should I lay my hands on their shoulders or on their head? Should I press in hard, energetically, or hold them away from their head, sort of mystically? And yet people have a tendency to say, I can't lay my hands on people. I don't yet have the technique down. I don't have the rules and the understandings. And what they're doing, what we're doing, is we're saying, the ministry of miracles and the ministry of the Spirit being used by God, seeing the power of God, is dependent upon my knowledge, my togetherness, my worthiness. No. No, no, no. Just like you were saved by faith, you will be used in the same manner, just believing not in who you are and what you know, but in who He is and in what He's promised to do. In ministry, in service, in our walk with the Lord, being used by Him with our kids or at the church or in town, whatever the context might be, it is not because we have our act together, because we have pumped up our faith, not at all. It's not our great faith, it's our faith in a great God who promised to do certain things. What things? Turn with me back a few sections to Matthew. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. When the evening time was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils. And He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick. This, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying Himself, He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Notice this. People came to Jesus. People were brought to Jesus who were blind and lame, leprous. They just came to Jesus in simplicity. They were brought to Jesus by people who cared about their family member who perhaps was blind and couldn't see. Just bring him to Jesus. Bring him to Jesus. Now, Jesus didn't say, to that man on that day who was perhaps blind? Huh. So you're coming to me because you're blind. How pure are your motives? Why do you want to see? Do you want to see so that you can behold my beauty? Do you want to see that you might study the Torah and be used in rabbinical dialogue? Do you want to see so that you can do the work of God? Get your act together, and when you have your motives purified, then I'll deal with you. No. The guy was just simply blind and wanted to see. Came to Jesus. Jesus didn't say, purify your motives. Get your theology straight. Analyze why you're here. He says, oh, okay, sure. Boom, be healed. Be healed. And yet, what do we think? Well, I don't know my motives. Why do I want to be used by the Lord? I better first go through this heavy year of introspection. I better first analyze carefully my motives, or I better figure out what the whole gig is here. No, if you want to be used by the Lord, you just go to Him and say, Father, use me. If somebody comes to you and says, hey man, I'm struggling with this marital problem or this physical sickness or this depression, you just say, hey, let me pray for you. You see, I take people to a person. I don't put them on a program. The person I take them to is Jesus Christ. And what did He say in John's Gospel? He said, he that comes to me, I will in what? No wise cast out. A person who comes to me, a person who's coming to me for their needs or bringing others to me, I will cast out none who come. He didn't say, well, I'm going to cast out those that don't have their theology down or their lives together or their motives pure. He simply said, anybody that comes to me, I'm not going to cast out. The only thing I'll cast out is a demon that may be in that unsaved person. I'm not going to cast them out, not the person. I'm not going to cast them away, the person who comes to me on any given day. See, this is the thing. This is why it's so incredibly, profoundly simple. We are going about not teaching people principles. We are going about not saying, hey, you got to be a part of this program. It's not the works of the law. It's simply the hearing of faith. Hearing what faith? That the Lord loves this person greatly. And He healed all that came to Him. And He cast out none who would come. Regardless of what their motivation might be, or their sin problems, or their struggles, irrelevant. Anyone who comes to the Lord, or is brought to Him, He will embrace. That's what makes service such a joy. That's what makes the walk with the Lord so delightful. Little flock, be free. Be free with your own self and be free in ministering to others. The key is taking the person or taking yourself into the presence of Jesus. Saying, Lord, I got this problem. And You promised, Lord, that You wouldn't cast me out, that You wouldn't turn me away, but I could cast my care upon You because You do care for me. He's not going to say, how many Bible verses do you know? Speak them louder. Pump harder. Get your faith stoked up, and maybe if you get enthusiastic enough, or quote the right scripture, or say the right phrase, maybe then I'll give a healing to you. Maybe then I'll save your son. Or free your daughter. That's the works of the law. And many well-meaning Christians and ministries say, hey, the key man is speak it louder. Make sure you know the right verses. And there's a wonderful thing about speaking out the word. Don't misunderstand me, but that's not the key. The key is the hearing of faith. Lord, You said come to Me, so here I am. You say, well, John, I've got a huge problem with what You're saying. I've come to him concerning my daughter's situation. I've come to him about this physical infirmity or sickness that I'm struggling through. I've come to him about the relationship which so intrigues me, and it's not happening. I've come to this one that you say declares, come to me, and it's not happening. So often the problem is, we come to the Lord and give him instructions or directions instead of just coming to him and saying, Lord, here's my situation. You see what's best for me. I am so glad that the Lord, in his goodness, did not answer thousands of my prayers in previous days. I thought I knew what I needed. I thought I knew it was best for this person in their situation. I thought I knew where we as a fellowship should have our church building. And I named it and claimed it. The Grange Hall. Out on Upper Applegate Road. Plenty of room. Building already done. Could seat 60 adults easily. And I can recall standing out there, walking around that Grange Hall one evening, just saying, Lord, Lord, just like you told Joshua, wherever he put the sole of his foot, that territory would be given to him. Lord, I'm claiming this. Guess what? The deal that we were pursuing to purchase the Grange Hall didn't work out. I'm so glad. I'm so thrilled. So delighted. You see, the key in praying for your situation or the people that you're sharing with or ministering to is not directional prayers, giving God direction, but simply coming and saying, Lord, here's the situation. You do what's right. Here's my perspective, Lord, if you're interested. Here's my suggestion if you're open for suggestions or need some counsel, Lord. But Lord, you see what's right. But I know, Lord, that you will not cast away this person or my problem. But you begged us to come to you, all us that are weary and heavy laden, that you would give us rest. You promised us that you would not cast out any who come, just in simple faith, you see. So last night, as I leave Frankfurt, Germany, yesterday, on the Lufthansa flight, 441, plane Boeing 747-400 packed, and it seemed like every person in the plane was huge. And it seems like every person brought on 15 carry-ons. It was one of those kinds of flights, you know, where it's just so stuffy and packed and people are huge. Me too. And it's noisy and man, I sat down. I was in the bulkhead there and not a lot of room to stretch by any means. But I got an aisle seat and I sat there. And a guy was sitting next to me, spoke English from some Mediterranean country, I don't know which one. And as we got up in the air, I thought, you know, I need to share with him. But I was fried. I was very, very tired. I had just a few hours before gotten over the jet lag from getting over there on Wednesday. And now it was starting up again. And I just was not in a real pleasant mood. So he put his earphones on once we sat down and tuned in the stereo system there. And I was thrilled. Well, no open door here. The guy doesn't have ears to hear, so what's the point in talking? And we got up in the air and we flew the 12-hour flight to Chicago. And I didn't speak a word to him. He had his earphones on the whole time, and it was fine by me. But as we deboarded, I thought, you know, man, I felt in my heart that an opportunity was missed. It wasn't a self-imposed guilt. It was just an awareness in my heart that, man, I missed an opportunity. It wasn't God condemning me saying, what are you doing not sharing? It was just a thing where I felt that I could have had a great experience in sharing with that person. Got off the plane, grabbed my 15 carry-on bags, made my way over to the United Terminal. Why they call those places terminals is a great mystery to me. People are afraid to fly as it is, and they call them terminals. The end. But I made my way over to the United Terminal, and funny thing happened. I had it timed. We had it timed just right to get on the flight to San Francisco that would get me here last night at 9 o'clock. Last flight into Medford. Got on the plane, sat down, and I found myself in a little different space. I was there, and I bowed my head, and I literally folded my hands, and I just moved into a time of prayer saying, Lord, I do want to be used. I really want to be used. Somehow, Lord, use me. I feel like I missed it on this 12-hour flight previously. I feel like I missed out. Use me, Lord, in some way. No sooner had I prayed that prayer than one of the stewards came on board and said, we have a problem with the airplane. The thermostat is not running correctly, not working properly. So you'll have to deboard, and we'll have to wait for another flight, another plane to come in and make the proper transference. So I went out and said, well, scored some. They got in Chicago, they have the best hot dogs. Man. Woo. Got some hot dogs and some popcorn, sat down and read the paper. Time to get on board again. But you see, as I came on board, I asked the person that was greeting us, I said, sir, I've got to preach tomorrow morning in Medford, Oregon. Is this flight going to connect? And he said, no way. You're not going to make it. So I got off. And I said, I got to get somehow closer to Medford. And there was a flight going to Portland that would get me in at 11 o'clock or so. And then I could drive down. And so, changing planes once again, I sat there, this time though, not cramped, surrounded by people with 20 bags. But they put me in first class because they had bumped me off the flights and I was missing my connections and stuff. And I sat there in this DC-10, stretch wide body DC-10 thing. And it has the big seats, you know. And I sat down there and no one else was in first class but me. And I thought, this is amazing. Here I am. Lord, I prayed to be used, which seems to be a good thing. And I was sitting there on that other flight headed for San Francisco, set to go. And I had given the time to you, and I really opened the door for you, Lord, to use me. And you kicked me off the plane. And now I'm on this plane all by myself. First class, sitting there. So I sat down, and it's about a 4-hour flight from Chicago to Portland. And that steward came by that was there at the door, and he said, so you're going to preach? I said, yep, I'm going to preach tomorrow morning in a place called Applegate. Can't wait to get there, I said. He said, Applegate. What's Applegate? So I started sharing with them about what the Lord is doing through you folks, what he's doing in our midst by his grace. Just, it's the greatest thing. I said, you know, there's a group of people that just love Jesus. And we're not trying to be religious people. We're not trying to be holier than thou kinds of folks. We just celebrate who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And I began to share last week's study. You know, we know that we're the lepers, that we're the women caught in adultery, that we're the blind and lame person. We're not trying to be Jesus. We realize that we're the hurting person, and he uniquely comes to us and works with us and does his changes in us slowly but surely, and we're forgiven. And a second stewardess then came over. She was about 48 years old, lived in Chicago, short, fiery, sparkly kind of little lady. She was Jewish. And she said, what's this? And so the steward now, whose name was Ricardo, and this Jewish lady named Ellie are now sitting by me in this first class cabin. And I'm talking to them about grace. And Ellie was Jewish and Ricardo was Roman Catholic, and these were amazing concepts to them. Then Bonnie came over. These are all first class attendants, stewards and stewardesses that had nobody on the plane but me. So she comes over and she sits down. She's from Chicago too. She's Polish. And she sits there and starts talking about the old country. And she's probably old, in her early 50s. And started sharing the way that she was brought up in a traditional Roman Catholic Polish home. And another steward came over. Didn't get his name. But there we were sitting in first class, and I'm not kidding when I say from the moment we took off until the time we touched down in Portland, we talked nonstop. It was a nonstop flight. We talked the entire 4 hours without a break about the gospel, about end times, about grace, about the finished work of the cross, about evolution and creation. All four of them are now on our Tree of Life mailing list. And I say that to say that I don't know if they yet fully understand and embrace in a personal way, but they all ask to be included on our mailing list to receive our tapes. They initiated that. It was Bonnie who said, can I get anything? Do you have any kind of material? I said, well, we have Bible studies on tapes. Love to send you. And they said, man, that would be terrific. Please, please. And as I deboarded, they were the ones that gave to me the addresses and the phone numbers and all of that. Now, I share that with you to say this. I prayed specifically to be used on the flight to San Francisco. I got kicked off the plane. It was a very noble prayer, very spiritual thing to do for a pastor. To pray to be used on the airplane. Especially after I sat there for 10 hours previously, said nothing to anybody. I felt it was a very good prayer. It was obviously, this has got to be your will. Well, then why was I kicked off the plane? And then why was I put in first class by myself? Hey, the Lord knew things and saw what was really coming down in ways that I could have never figured out. So when I come to the Lord, when he says, Johnny, come to me, just come as you are. When you first got saved, you came to me in simple faith. Keep coming to me in that manner. You're not going to be perfected, matured, used because of your understanding of theology or your quoting verses enthusiastically or your pumping up your faith emotionally. You just come to me. The hearing of faith. I said, come to me, come to me. And then as you talk things over with me, John, trust that I'm going to do things in the right way at the right time. It might not be in the way you're suggesting, but it will ultimately prove to be the right thing. Not because you're naming it and claiming it. Not because you're instructing me of what you think should happen, but you're just trusting in me, the hearing of faith. Oh Lord, I'm not perfected by my own fleshly preparations or my own fleshly instructions to you. I just come in faith today. And I say to any in here who are going through troubled marriages, wrestling with troubled marriages, I say to any of you today who are struggling with physical problems, I say to any of you today that are emotionally depressed or financially stressed, I say to any of you who are worried about a father or a mother who's not saved, or a son or a daughter who's falling away, I say to any of you today that the Holy Spirit is given and miracles happen. Galatians 3:5, not by the works of the law, but by simply the hearing of faith. Just believing in the goodness of the Lord. That He cares about you, that He'll do the best for you, that He's not asking you to prove something to Him that He might then say, okay, you've really shown me your spiritual stuff, now I'm going to answer your prayer. That's not the Lord. That's the circumcisers. That's the Judaizers. That's the rules and regulation people. That's not the way to approach the Lord. That's not the way to be used by Him. Not the works of the law, but just hearing faith. Lord, You said to come, so here I am. You said You'll keep that which is committed to You, so I do that with Peter, John, Benjamin, Christy, Mary Elizabeth, Jessica Lee. I just commit these kids to You now, Lord. I'm not doing anything special or spectacular. I just believe what You say. It's not my great faith. It's my faith in a great Father. Simple faith. And that's the person who will see miracles happen. That's the person who will minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. The person who in simplicity, just in faith, has confidence in the goodness and grace of the Father. Not the person who has their act together. So rejoice. Applegate Fellowship, I leave you with this today. You have begun in the Spirit. You were saved in a simple way, embracing a simple message, having begun in the Spirit. Are you now attempting to be made perfect by the works of the law? Oh, who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched me? Some person saying, if you want your prayers answered, if you want to be used, you got to do this and do that and be this and be the other. That's a circumciser. Paul said there in the end of the book concerning the circumcisers, I wish that they would castrate themselves. Strong words, not mine. But it captures the intent and the heart of the Lord. Hey, you've begun in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Depend on Him. Have confidence in Him. Come to Him, all you that are weary laden. Come to Him, and He will cast out none. He will heal all that come to Him. In the best way, at His time, in the right manner. He will energize, empower, He will save and work. He will do it, not because of who you are, but simply your believing in who He is. Your motives may not be pure. He doesn't ask for that. Your methods may not be down. That's irrelevant. You just come to Him. And you'll minister in the power of the Spirit. And you'll see the miraculous happen when you're taken into the first class cabin. And you say, man, Lord, You're good. And you just fly high, marveling at what He does not because of you, but quite frankly, in spite of you. Just simply having faith in Him. Let he who has ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church at Applegate today. Let's pray. So, Father, we do ask in Jesus' name that you would keep us as a church fellowship, as a congregation, in simplicity, celebrating who you are and what you've done, that we might, Lord, minister the Spirit and move in the miraculous, not because of techniques that we practice or understandings that we have, but just a confidence in your goodness, Father. Thank you for using us. And now, Lord, I pray that you would inspire us to just do what you said, that right now, every one of us, Lord, who has a need with family in spiritual matters, financial pressures, relationally, whatever it might be, that we, right now, as we sit here on this beautiful Sunday morning, would come to you and cast that care upon you. And just believing in you, Lord, that the miraculous, the right thing, the best would be unfolded before us in due season.